Okay, so the topic of Tarsha is going to take us to the Gemara on Samachei Amud Aleph, over a little bit onto Amud Beis. This week will be the Amud Aleph part of it. But it requires a little bit of introduction because Tarsha doesn't really mean Tarsha. For our purposes, Tarsha is going to really be our guide to the issue of Ribbis Derech Mekach. Ribbis involved when your financial transaction is not a loan, but is actually a sale. So that's really what we're talking about. So the word Tarsha is code for Ribbis Derech Mekach, as far as we are concerned. The topic is very important. It addresses issues of Ribbis involving both higher prices for delayed payment. Right? In other words, you're going to buy the car from me, which hypothetically, if you were paying up front, would be a $20,000 car. However, if you're going to do it with installments, it's going to cost you $30,000 over time. So that's the issue of Tarsha, as you'll see. Is that okay? As well as the issue of discounts for early payment. Tuition for next year is going to be $24,000. However, in the event that you pay by May 1st, or you sign up by May 1st, well, not sign up, if you pay by May 1st, then you'll be then it'll be $20,000 or $23,900. So that's why this is a very important topic. This comes up in all sorts of transactions. So we've already established that Ribbis Derech Mekach is Avak Ribbis. Right? We've talked about that before. That the Ribbis Kitzutza, the biblical Ribbis that we think of, is where there's a loan, but that if there's a sale, then it's reduced to Avak Ribbis. And we see this in the Gemara in Bava Metzia Samach Amud Beis. I brought it for you here in Source Aleph, when the opening mission of our Perek asked, what is Neshech, what is Tarbis? And its first example of what Neshech is was Lakach Hemenu Chitin B'dinar Zav. You bought wheat off of somebody at a price of a gold dinar per kur, which is the going rate, but you didn't actually take delivery yet. And then amdu chitin b'shloshim dinarim, chitim are now worth 30 dinar of the lesser dinar, but it's total of more than the dinar zav, and you want to get the wheat, and he says, I'll give you wine instead, and so on. It's a case of ribbis involving a sale, as opposed to ribbis involving a loan. So the Gemara comments in that in Source Aleph, Midishave Ribbis del Raisa Kumafarish de Rabbanan, from the fact that you chose as your example, your initial example of what ribbis is in the entire parak, you chose a commercial transaction, a sale, as opposed to a loan, .. But the point is not to finish that line in the Gemara, the point is that they label it de Rabbanan. That's your first indication right away that it's that if it involves a sale rather than a loan, then it's only going to be rabbinic. Now, there are two basic kinds of ribbis derech mekach, of ribbis that occurs in a sale. One kind is what we've discussed as psika al haperos. We talked about it a little bit when we discussed sa'a b'sa'a, and that's the case where you pay now to get goods later on. That's the case in that Mishnah, right? You give the money now in exchange for goods that you're going to get later, and it's a ribbis concern if you're going to get more goods, you're going to get more of the stuff, whatever it is, or better stuff, because you took delivery later. And what that means is the consumer, the lokeach, is the lender. Right? If I am buying things from Yaron and I pay him and I pay him now and he's going to deliver them later on, I am lending him money until I get the stuff later on. And if he gives me more than what I lent him, that's ribbis, right? Unless he had it now and then it's considered as though the mecca happened now and yeshlo and all that. But that's one type. That's psika al haperos. Tarsha, or the Tarsha of Rav Nachman, which is the one that we're going to spend our time on today, is the opposite. It's where I get the goods now, right? Whatever it is that I'm buying from Yaron, I get the materials now, and I'm going to pay him later, which means that he is the lender, right? He is lending me the goods right now, and I'm going to pay him back when I give him the cash for it later on. And in the event that I'm going to pay him more than they are worth, then he's receiving ribbis. You follow? So it's the two different ways that you can have ribbis in a commercial transaction. The psika al haperos makes the buyer the lender. whereas Tarsha of Rav Nachman is going to make the merchant the lender. Rav Chama's Tarsha is the other one that we're going to have to get to, and that's a completely different animal, which we'll see it this week, but we're not going to discuss it this week. So why is it that we say Ribbis Derech Mekach is a Derabanan? What's the rationale? So there are two basic approaches. One approach is, and this matters, I'm not just doing this for Chazara purposes, one reason why Ribbis Derech Mekach is only Derabanan is from Psukim, and the other is because the ribbis is unclear when it's in a transaction. Meaning, Rashi, you write the famous Rashi that's in Source Beis, tells you the reason why ribbis that's in a sale. I keep saying commercial transaction. Loans can be commercial transactions also, but ribbis that's in a sale is only derabbanan. Rashi says because of the pasuk in Mishlei, Mar behona ubeneshach ubetarbis. He increases his wealth via neshech and tarbis, which Rashi says is derech halva'ah. In other words, the main type of ribis is if it's in the style of a loan. That pasuk, he says, is in the style of a loan. Remember, there's a discussion about whether Rashi's edition is marbehono or malve. But marbehono is the edition I have right here. That's the pasuk in Bishlei. The Chochmas Adam actually gives you a better pasuk. And you sort of wonder, I was discussing this issue with my kids on Yantif, this issue of Ribbis Derech Mekach, and distinguishing between Mekach and Halva, and I said to them that it's only Derabanan if it's Derech Mekach, but I use the Chachmas Adam's pasuk, because it's a lot more clear-cut. Right. The Chachmas Adam says, in Source Gimel, Minatara, Eino Issa Ribbis Ela Derech Halva, Ki Dichsiv, Im Kesef Talve Asami Da, Lo Sisimun Olam Neshech. You have a pasuk in Mishpatim. Why in the world is he showing off that he knows Mishlei? The pasuk says, if you lend, or when you lend, right, Im being when, don't do Neshech, so that's an easier pasuk. But either way, it's from Psukim. It's from Sukkim that you draw it. The other view is that the reason why ribbis in a commercial transaction is only derabanan is because the ribbis is unclear. I brought you the Ritva here in Source Dalid, where he brings you Rashi, and he has the Malve Hono edition of that the pasuk of Mishlei Chavches, and then he asks Vitema, and he says, "What are you talking about? My text doesn't say Malve. My text says Marve." V'hanachon in the middle of the second line in Source Dalid, v'hanachon the right answer is, why is it that ribbis in a mekach is derabanan? Dekevin dechsiv es kaspach halosite lo b'neshach. Since the pasuk says, don't give your money to him with neshach or for neshach, mashma shalo asra Torah ela kol sheyesh bo neshach barur mishas nesina. It's not biblical unless there is clear ribbis at the time that you give it. Like the pasuk says, don't put neshech upon him. So the idea is that when you engage in a sale, the ribbis is unclear. So to go back to the case that we talked about with Yaron, in the event that I pay him the money now, and then in the end he's going to give me more goods as a result, it's not clear cut that this was a ribbis transaction, especially if we didn't specify this to begin with, in which case you'll say, well, it's not ribbis kitzutza anyway, but when we didn't specify the amount, it just happens to be that it goes up in value between now and then. That's not clear ribbis, as opposed to I lend him $1,000 and he pays me back $1,100. That's a much more clear case of ribbis.
When you buy a car and you finance it for 5 years, so it's a sale, but the ribbis is clear. You know, it's like 2% for, you know, 60 months or whatever.
So that's exactly where I'm going. Hold the point, but you're 100% right. The Mabit has a similar approach, although his only works for Psika ala Peros. It doesn't work for Tarsha. The Mabit's approach in Source Hay simply is Kevin Shlif Amim Kisha Adam Tzarech Lechepetz Echad No Sein Olav Yoser Mishav Yau Veina Choshesh Al HaOna. He says, you know, you need a particular item, so you're willing to pay more for it, and you're not worried about, well, I'm being overcharged. Imkein Ein 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 Uro. So we don't see that it's necessarily a response to the loan. It's just, I needed this stuff right now. That will work for Psika al HaPeros, right, where I'm taking delivery of the stuff later and I'm paying him now. He needs the cash now, therefore he's willing to do it. It doesn't work so well with Tarsha. But the difference between the two schools, whether it's because of a pasuk or whether it's because the ribis is unclear, matters. Rav Nachum Yavroth wrote an article called Ribis Derech Mekach. It appeared in something called Halacha Uksafim. You can find it in the Kitzvei Eight in the Bar Ilan. Rav Yavroth is a big name in 20th century discussions of ribis. I think he had a haskama on Taras Ribis, Rav Hershel Sefer. I think he has a haskama in there. So he discusses these different approaches. So first he says that the Ritva's approach, as well as, I would note, the Mabit, he doesn't discuss the Mabit, but the Ritva's approach, he says, isn't going to work for Tarsha. That's his first point. He says the approach of the Ritva, which is that in a sale, that the Ribis is unclear, he says that won't work when it comes to a Tarsha case, because in the Tarsha case, right, remember, Tarsha is the opposite of Psika Laperos. In the Tarsha case, I get the goods from him now, and I'm going to pay him later, right? It's as Jeffrey said, it's very clear there's ribis from the start. I am getting a car that's worth $20,000, and I am paying you $30,000 over time. It's very clear that there is a difference. So he gives a very interesting answer. Did I bring it on here? Did I retype it here? Yeah, I did. Source Vav. He says, Valkei Nira, or Valkoch Nira, the time of the Tarsha loa v'ribis kitzutza. He says, I'm going to give you an innovative explanation for why Tarbis is not ribis kitzutza according to the Ritva. It's because everything that you add, whatever additional funds I'm going to have to pay to get this car, is really not ribis. It's not agar natarle. It's not payment because you're waiting for you're waiting for my money, but rather it's dimei hachefetz. It's considered to be the value of the item. Ki af al pisha tosefes hi b'shvil hamtanas hamos. Even though what you're adding really is because you're not paying on time. Kol zehu rak derech eich lechashev bekama kedai lo limkor es hachefetz. He says yes, but it's only part of the calculation of, is it worth it to me to sell this guy a car if I am not going to get my money right now? That's the way he looks at this calculation. That's what makes it Dimei HaChefetz. The fellow is saying to himself, the fellow who owns the car, I'm buying the car off of Yaron. Yaron is still my business partner here. So instead of what happens in a case of a halva'a, right, in the case of a loan, so Yaron is lending me $10,000 and saying, you know, I'm losing my use of that money all this time, and you know, maybe I don't get paid back. I have to go to Beis Din. I want you to give me back $15,000 as a way for you to rent my $10,000 for a year. Right? That's the way that it would work in a halva'a. What's happening here is Yaron has a car to sell, and it's not worth it to him to sell a car now for $20,000 if he's not going to see the money right now. However, if you'll pay me $30,000 for it, then it's worthwhile for me to not have this car. It's worthwhile for me to sell you the car right now. That's the distinction that he draws. If this sounds funny to you, it sounded funny to me too. That's why I retyped it on here, because I couldn't trust myself to repeat it. But he's...
If I give you a loan for, I don't know, $10,000, I give you it because I know that I can invest this money somewhere, right. And now I give it to you, I need this
car. Right. It sounds fishy. Yeah, fishyali in Hebrew. It does, but he continues to say, he says it's the value of the item. This is what it costs to buy a car. If you're buying a car now and only paying for it later, so I added it in brackets.
Not
charge,
though, is it?
It's not
the value of that car on the street is only 20.
So he's essentially calling this the shahr. That's more or less what he's doing. He's just using the phrase Dimei HaChefetz, but that's really what he's saying. I added in brackets my attempt to turn this into English. Klomar, lo svaras hu mishtamish bekesef sheli ad shehu mishalem, ela lo akabel tashlumei HaChefetz. Right? It's not schar hamtana. It's not he's using my money, he's using my car, right, until he pays me. That's not what Yaron is thinking. What he's thinking is, I am not receiving the payment. It's not quite the same thing. That's the best I can approximate in terms of his explanation for the Ritva. Because he's right, the Ritva won't work. His question is clearly a question. Against the Ritva, that the Ritva who says that the issue is that the Ribbis is unclear is just not true when you're dealing with Tarsha. So he says it's not that the Ribbis the Ritva's point is not true for Tarsha, but what the Ritva will say for Tarsha is that it's actually Dmei HaChefetz. But the point that I really wanted to make sure to get to, even if you don't like his justification for the Ritva, maybe the Ritva will just say, I'll use the Pasuk when it comes to Tarsha, and my point is only true for Psika Laperos. But the part that is relevant for us is his nafgamina between the approach of the Psukim versus the approach of Ritva, which, again, I add the Mabirin with the Ritva, which is that Tarsha is where the Neshech is clear. If you have a case of Tarsha where Neshech is clear from the outset, and it's clearly not Dmei HaChefetz. Take a look at source number 7, the one line. V'nafgamina bazeh b'tarsha ba'ofen shevadai hatosefes hi b'toras agar natar. He says the nafgamina would be for a Tarsha case where whatever is additional is under agar natar. It's not under Dmei HaChefetz. Where it really is, well, you're not going to pay me until then. You're holding my money, therefore you're going to have to pay me more. Dil Rashi love your biskitzutza. If you take the approach of Rashi Chochmas Adam from the Psukim, it doesn't matter. It's part of a sale, not part of a loan. La Ritva of Rabbi Skitsutsa. The Ritva would disagree. In other words, what Rav Yavarov is doing is pointing out that once you take the logic approach, it's not really, as opposed to the Psukim approach, it's not really about whether this is a loan or a sale. It's about whether Ribbis is clear or not, per the Ritva. And he says, you could have a case of clear-cut Ribbis in a sale as well. That's the important upshot of what he has to say here, is that you could have Ribbis Kitsutsa involving a Mekach as well. So when it comes to our discussion of Tarsha, we're going to have to ask ourselves that question. We'll need to ask, how clear is the Ribbis in these Tarsha cases? Follow?
So what would the least be then? Because it's sort of a Mekoff and not a Mekoff.
In the case of a lease, in other words, I lease a car, and there's a going rate right now if I wanted to pay now for a 3-year lease. Is that what you're...
Same as the sale financing, except it's a lease. You're not really buying it.
I mean, generally, as we said in Onas, there was Memker Lioma, right? Renting something is buying it for that period of time. So therefore, I should look at it as Mekach. So according to Rashi, according to the Chachmas Adam, I would say it's automatically Ribbis Drabana. However, in the event that it's framed very clearly as you are holding our money for this time, therefore we want X percentage more, right? Every month it will be 2% more, whatever it is, then I think that he would argue that that's actually Ribbis Kitsutsa.
Well, it's not 2% more. It's just, you know, whatever it's tax, it's $350 for the next, you know, 4 years.
Right.
So the amount stays the same. Same as the financing. It looks the same.
I don't mean that the amount is going up over the course of the lease, but I'm saying that that they say, you know, instead of paying us, you know, prepaid, right, instead of paying us up front, sure, you can wait and pay every month. But you should know that this is going to be your payment, and they do it based on the period of time over which you are paying.
That's the same as this financing, the sale.
Right. No, that's what I'm...
When you finance the car, too, you're paying, you know, X amount per month.
Right. No, that's true. The argument can be made for that case. I would agree with that. I'm good with that. Okay. Now, we're going to discuss three different forms of Tarsha in this sugya. But all of them will involve late payment for a purchase. Rav Nachman's case is going to be Ribbis added to late payment for a purchase, where the Ribbis was unspecified at the beginning. And we have to explain what unspecified means, but that's going to be Rav Nachman's case. Rav Papa's case is going to be Ribbis added to late payment for a purchase, where the lender is helping the borrower. The lender is not making anything on this deal.
Who's the lender here in this case?
In a standard Tarsha case, the lender is the seller.
Okay.
Yeah, the lender is the mocher. So he has nothing to gain by doing this. He's doing it as a favor to the buyer, and you'll see the case in the Gemara. The Rav Chama's case is going to be ribis added to late payment for a purchase, where the purchase itself is delayed. The purchase does not occur right now. Even though I'm taking delivery of the item, it's not actually sold to me yet. That's going to be Rav Chama. We're going to see Rav Chama in the Gemara. We're going to discuss Rav Chama, I hope, next week. But those are your three cases. The first case is where the ribbis is unspecified, Rav Nachman. Your second case is where the ribbis is really just, it's the sake of the delayed payment is to help the borrower, not to help the lender. The lender isn't making any money on this deal. And then Rav Chama, where the purchase itself is delayed. Those are the three cases that we're going to see. Now, I was asked already before, Jeffrey asked the question, so what exactly does Tarsha mean? So again, there are going to be ramifications for this, but there are at least two explanations for what Tarsha is. The Ramban of the Melchamos, I brought it for you here in Source Ches. Most of what he has to say here isn't going to be well. You'll see. V'chein v'kach anu omrim shalashon tarsha hu halva chereshes. Tarsha is a silent loan. She'ena nishmas. It's not heard. Shalo amar legorin v'kach v'kach, because he doesn't say, this is the Rav Nachman Tarsha. He doesn't say to him, if you pay me at the time of the granary, it's going to be such and such. Ela amar stam kishar shel goren. What he just says is, pay me whatever it's worth at the time of the granary. At the time when the grain is available. Shadavar ribis, because it is ribis, ve'eno nishma, but it's not heard. And he says, I'll give you an associated source. V'yesh l'chavar b'yilamdenu, he has a parallel source in the Medrash Yilamdenu, b'sof imbechu kosai, he gives you a source from imbechu kosai, me'ulascha tarsha akish Allah. Don't worry about whether this is relevant for not. Mehula is sifting. So, Shpirusha, hanafa nischarsha, vein hakemach yored. If the sifter becomes mute, becomes silent, that's the tarsha. If the sifter becomes mute, and the flour isn't coming out, akish Allah. So you should hit it, you should bang it, and then the stuff will come out. This is an important lesson for those who sift things. In the event that stuff stops coming out, you should do what you do with your computer and you do with your car. Give it a kick, and then it'll start working again. And the aruch there says that this is actually from the Arabic. They call someone who is mute atrush. So I don't actually know that. I was tempted to look through the Arabic, but just didn't have the time to do so. But the Aruch knew Arabic better than I do anyway, so fine. But he says the idea is that Tarsha means that is something which is silent because the ribis is unclear in this case. Shades of the Ritva regarding ribis Derech Mekach. The Ravid gives a different explanation. The Ravid, as quoted in the Shita Mekubetzes in Tess, says, V'haravid pirish Tarsha lashon gova. Gova, meaning elevation. Kemo haslaim hagvohim shnikraim trashim. We know the word trashim. Trashim are ruts. He has them as boulders. But the point is, when you want to plow the field, you don't want trashim there. So klomar muter limkor chefetz lizman ploni yosim imashashava achshav. You're allowed to sell this thing to be paid for at a later date. At a higher rate than it's worth right now, because later on it'll actually be worth it. What he's talking about in terms of later on it being worth it, we have to come back to, but the point is, he says it's just an increase, that's all it means. Because the price is going to increase, the real price is going to increase before the payment comes due. That's his explanation. I also saw Rabin Sion Eliash in an article called Iskot Sa'a B'Sa'a U'Psiko Ala Peros Mesores V'Chidush B'Tkufas HaGaonim Chelek Aleph. I didn't write all that out in your source sheet, but it's in Dina Yisrael Yud Ches. It's found in the Bar Ilan Kitvei Eit. So he has a footnote where he quotes a sefer called Mishpatei Halvaos. I have no idea who Mishpatei Halvaos is. I looked for it in Hebrew books and Otsar. Neither of them have any idea what this is. But the Mishpatei Halvaos, Kuf Amud Beis, says that Tarsha is just a term for selling items on credit. None of this fancy Tarsha means, gova, or Tarsha means mute. No, Tarsha was just the word that they used for selling items on credit. right? You'll pay me later. That's all it means. And each one, Rav Nachman, Rav Papa, Rav Chama, is just talking about how he practiced Tarsha, what he did, which I like. I mean, that's a sort of simple explanation for Tarsha. I'd like to find this article in order to really know this Mishpatei Avos, a sefer, but I don't. I have not found it. Okay.
According to the Rambam, the rivers are silent. That's the idea.
That's the idea, correct.
How's that different from Sa'a B'Sa'a then?
Well, it's different from Sa'a B'Sa'a, first of all, because Sa'a B'Sa'a is fundamentally a trade. It's not even a sale, right? Sa'a B'Sa'a was, I'm giving you eggs, and you're going to give me back eggs.
Still had a problem with it.
I'm sorry?
It was still a problem.
Right, it was a Dirabbanan, it was a Dirabbanan issue, right. But the rivers is silent there as well. That's certainly true. I mean, it's going to be better. Sa'a B'Sa'a is going to be better for us than Ribbis Derech Mekach. That's for sure true.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So we've given a little bit of an introduction now. We understand that Ribbis Derech Mekach is Derabbanan. We understand that you either say that from Sukkim or you say that from the idea of the Ribbis being unclear. We have, aside from the question of is the Ribbis really just the Meach Hefetz in the Tarsha case, the fundamental difference is what about where the Ribbis really is clear. We went through very quickly the three different forms of Tarsha that we're going to be discussing and a couple of etymologies for Tarsha. Let's see the sugya itself quickly. So we go to Yud Aleph on the sheet. The Mishnah from Bav Metzias Samachayim at Aleph. Marbin al Asachar vein Marbin al Hamecher. We're going to be discussing Marbin al Hamecher, the issue of increasing the price for an object if it's not going to be paid for right now. Machar lo es sadeyu. In the event that you sell somebody your field. And you say to him, if you pay me now, it's 1,000 zuz. If you pay me at the time that you didn't sell your field, I guess you sold the wheat that's in the field. If you pay me... You found it? Where was it?
It is an addendum to the printing of the Sefer Mekach Memkar in the Venice edition.
I didn't look at the Venice edition.
In year Shin Samach Bey.
Shkoyach. Thank you. Email me a link, please.
I got it in a footnote of the Sefer Hashana Lihude America, 1939.
Oh, boy.
Google Books.
Okay. Go Google Books. Okay. So in this case where he sells the wheat from the field and he says, in the event that you pay now, it's 1,000 zuz. In the event that you pay at the time of the granary, then it's going to be 1,200 zuz. So that's the Mishnah says is asur. That's our starting point. That's a basic case of clear-cut ribbis in which I'm getting the grain now, but I'm paying for it later. So in the Gemara on this, Amar of Nachman
is growing in the field still?
No, he's giving him the stuff now.
Okay, so
there's some kind of kinyan going on already now, or else it would be one of the cases we're going to see later. So it has to be there's a kinyan on it now, I believe. I didn't spend any time really on the Mishnah on this. It's just the setup for what the Gemara is going to discuss, but I think you have to say that. So the Gemara says, Amar of Nachman, Tarsha Shari. So Rav Nachman says, Tarsha is okay. He does not waste any time explaining to you what Tarsha is or what his Tarsha is. He says, yeah, Tarsha is okay. So Esvei Rami Bar Chamala Rav Nachman, Rami Rav Ukva Bar Chamala Rav Nachman, we have a challenge to Rav Nachman. Didn't you read our Mishnah? We know what Tarsha is. Evidently the Gemara knows what Tarsha is. Tarsha is some form of delayed payment. And in the Mishnah it said, Ve'im Lagorin B'Shnema Sarmana Asur. In the event that you're going to pay 1,200 zuz at the time of the granary, then it is asur. So amar lei hasam katz lei hacha lo katz lei. So Rav Nachman's answer is that in the case in the Mishnah, it actually is fixed. He sets it, whereas here he does not set it. Now we have to come back and define what does that mean, katz lei. What does that mean? He set it. We're going to come back to that. But just to walk you through the three cases first. Amar of Papa Tarsha Didi Shari. Rav Papa says my Tarsha is good. There is another edition which we'll come back to in which he says Vadai Shari, which is going to matter. But our edition does not have Vadai. My Taima, What's the rationale? Why does Rav Papa think his tarsha is good? So remember that Rav Papa is a beer manufacturer. He manufactures and sells beer. So he says, in my case, shichrayi lo pasid, my beer would not go bad. Meaning, you're telling me you're going to pay me today, right? Today is, what, June 2nd? Okay, today is June 2nd. So you're not going to pay me today. Sorry, you're going to buy the beer from me on June 2nd. You're going to pay me in September. The truth of the matter is, he says, I'm not gaining anything by getting this sale right now. I could just as easily hold the beer until September and sell it in September when it's going to have a higher value. Zuze lo tzarichna. And I don't need the money right now. I'm Rav Papa, don't you know? I don't need your money. Anahu deka avidna milsa gabe lokeach. I am helping out the lokeach. I added in the word chesed. That's what it means when it says milsa. I'm being a nice guy to the consumer. He wants beer right now. So, alright, fine. You can have the beer right now. You can pay me later. You're going to be paying me the higher price because you're paying me in September, and that's what it's worth in September. But I'm not gaining anything on the deal. And so,
are you sure that it's going to be this price in September?
We can't be sure. And that's going to come back in terms of Rav Nachman. But Rav Papa apparently knows that it's going to be worth more in September. Whether Rav Papa is dealing with a case of cuts or low cuts is going to be a big machloket that we have to see. So whether he's talking about where there's actually a fixed price or whether he just says to them, you pay me in September, whatever it costs in September. That might actually be what he's doing.
Okay.
The other thing here, you have a sure sale, it's a questionable sale later on.
Yeah.
It's not
except he doesn't seem to think so.
Oh,
yeah. It's not cut out.
Right.
In September,
it's low cuts, correct. According to one view of Rav Papa, you'll see. We have to see whether Rav Papa is cuts or low cuts. But Amar Le Rav Sheshes Breder of Edi Le Rav Papa. Rav Sheshes Breder of Edi says to Rav Papa, I don't understand why you think this helps. My Chazi Mar Deka Azaz Basar Didach. What did you see that made you think that we care about whether you benefit or not? Zil Basar Didu. Go with them. Look at the buyer, right? The ilu havalu zuze. If the buyers had money now, havu shakli, meaning, as I added in brackets, mishalmi, kihashta, if they had the money now, they would like to pay you now at the current rate. Hashta, the less luzuze, now they don't have any money, shakli kiyukur de la kame, so they're going to have to pay based on the higher price of what it's going to be worth come September. But there, you know, this goes back to and is indeed brought in the discussion of the whole Neshech versus Tarbis issue, right? Is the issue of Rivis the loss for the borrower, or is it the gain for the lender, or some combination thereof? This figures into the conversation. But Rav Papa's Tarsha is where I, the lender, am not gaining anything by the fact that I do this transaction right now. And the answer of Rav Sheshes Breder of Edi is, I don't care. Amar Rav Chama. Rav Chama gives us the third form of Tarsha. Tarsha didi vadai shari. My Tarsha is for sure fine. I'm going to explain it outside of the text here because it's easier than trying to draw it from the line. It's not our focus today anyway. What he would do is he had merchandise and he would say to Jeffrey, you can take this merchandise to some other town where it's more expensive than it is here. Sell it there. Use the money to do business while you're there, and then when you come back, you're going to pay me for the merchandise based on what it's worth in that more expensive place. But the kinyan actually doesn't occur. Jeffrey doesn't buy the merchandise from me until he gets there. So therefore, there's no ribis involved in this form of tarsha, because Jeffrey isn't buying it here. He's buying it there. There's more to say about Rav Chama, but that's going to be next week's shiur. So we have enough confusion with Rav Nachman and Rav Papa. I'm just mentioning it to you because it's in the flow of the Gemara. And then the Gemara says, those last three words are the part that's on Amud Beis, the Hilchas HaRav Chama, the law follows Rav Chama. And then, of course, the question is, the law follows Rav Chama and not whom? Who are you excluding by saying the law follows Rav Chama? Are you excluding Rav Nachman and Rav Papa? Are you excluding just Rav Papa? What are you excluding there? But those are three cases of Tarsha as brought in the Gemara. Rav Nachman, who says that it's where I don't fix it. I don't set it. And again, we have to see what that is, what that means. We have Rav Papa who says that it's I, the lender, am not gaining anything. And you have Rav Chama who is doing a delayed purchase altogether, as we'll see. Those are your three, the three possibilities. So we have to explain what Rav Chama, what Rav Nachman is talking about. Rav Nachman is our focus for right now. Okay? Again, Tarsha, most basic thing for those who are joining now. The most basic principle within Tarsha is that it's where it's the opposite of Psika al Haperos. I am the buyer is getting the goods now, paying for them later at an increased rate. And Rav Nachman says it's okay for me to do this. That's fine. It's not a problem because because I didn't set it. So what does I didn't set it mean? What does that mean, low cuts? So there are two fundamental approaches. One is the approach of Rashi. Rashi, not just Rashi. Rashi, Tosas, Balamor, Rashba, Rush. If your name is Rishon, you tend to like this view. And then the other approach is the approach of the Gaonim, along with the Ramban and a handful of other people. So the first approach is that Lokutz means you don't specify the early price, you only specify the late price. So I'm going to buy the car off of Yaron. I walk into Yaron's dealership, and I say to Yaron, listen, I'd like to buy that car. And Yaron says, no problem, it's going to be $30,000 in payments across 3 years. He doesn't say anything about it being $18,000 if I buy it up front. He doesn't care about that. He simply says $30,000 across 3 years. That's the late price. It's the only price that he tells me. So in that case, that's low cuts. If you take a look at Rashi, I brought it for you in Yud Beis. Rashi says, Tarsha Shari, Limkor Schara Bamtana Biyosem Midameha, to sell the merchandise waiting for it to be paid, and you're going to get more than it's worth right now. As long as you don't specify, if you're going to pay now, you get it for less. You simply say, the price is X, and you pay it on this date. Kotzlei, Rashi continues to say, if you cut, that's when you say, if you pay now, you get it for less. To be ahead, you parish lay the scharam tana who no tell. In which case, it's very explicit that it's the scharam tana. That's the way that Rashi frames it. And again, Tosas Balamor, Rash Barash, take it. The logic of it is go back to the Ritva that we saw on the word Tarsha. Go back to the point that the Rav Yavrov made. The logic is the ribis is unclear. The ribis is unclear. Maybe the early price would also have been high. I don't know what he would have charged me if I would have paid for the car up front. Maybe he would have charged me $30,000 also to pay for it up front. The Ramban adds a note here, which gives people fits. I'm mentioning it because you can't ignore it, and it will be relevant a little bit later on. But the Ramban adds another logical point, which is going to remind you of our Sa'a discussion in Source Yud Gimel. V'acherim Amru, Acherim is Rashi. Rashi et al. But aside from the Gaonim, whose approach he brought first, he says others say, "Rav Nachman vaday belo kitzets klum elo amar kishar shel tishrei." You didn't fix anything. You simply said, "Actually, I'm sorry. It's a little bit varied. It's not quite the same as Rashi." But he says it's where you said, "Pay me in 3 years based on what it's going to be worth in 3 years." Vushar Hayoker, which is the higher value. It's not quite the same as Rashi. Lefichach Mutter, therefore it's okay. The Amar Lei Chiti Hu Dekadchu Ba'aklavoi. Because he's going to say, it's the same thing as what we talked about in Sa'a B'Sa'a. My wheat grew, my wheat appreciated and inflated when it was sitting in my storehouse. In other words, Yaron's statement to me is, you're going to pay me what it's worth in 3 years. That happens to be the $30,000, according to Rashi, who says that you actually specified it. But the point is, it's not as though you're paying me extra. That's what it's worth at the time of the payment, just not at the time of the Kenyan. The Kenyan is happening right now. That was what you were going to say? Oh, I thought you were going to say that. Okay.
Yeah, it's like the price of wheat now and the price of wheat then.
Right.
But that doesn't work for a car, because a 2017 Brand X in 3 years is not going to be worth a lot less.
Correct. Because in the car case, your analogy falls apart.
As soon as you drive it off the lot.
Yes. This is quite true. But in any case, this argument of his doesn't really seem to fit. Sorry?
There's also a leasing market.
Yeah.
So you could argue that it's really, you know, it's not a nut, it's not ribbons, it's not anything, because it's in line with what lease payments are.
But the problem is that lease payments are
rental payments. If you want to rent a car, you know, you want to rent it for a month at a time. That's
right, but the same argument is going to pertain, which is if you're paying me later for the lease, then you're going to have to pay more. If you pay me up front, then you could actually lease it for 3 years at less. You'll have the same problem. But that's the first approach. Leaving aside the nuance of, do you specify the late price in terms of amount, or do you have to even not specify the late price in terms of amount, but only say whatever it's worth then, a la Ramban? That's one approach. The other approach, which Ramban brings from the Gaonim and which he likes, is to say that what we're talking about is low cut. Well, take a look in your Dalit. Hagaonim zal pirshu tarsha derav Nachman kein tarsha derav Papa. The way that the Gaonim take it is that you say to him, the price in Tishrei is going to be whatever it's worth in Tishrei. Hashar shel Tishrei eino katsut shema lo yisyakir ulufichach mutter. He says it's not that you didn't specify what it's worth right now. It's that you don't specify what it's worth in the end. In other words, let me frame this a little bit differently. The way Rashi said it, as understood by the Ramban, was you didn't say your current price at all, and you don't say your end price except to say shahr of 3 years from now. But the way the Ramban takes it from the Gaonim is you can say what the current price is. That doesn't bother me. What does bother me is if you specify what the price is going to be in 3 years. No, what you're going to charge him in 3 years. In other words, instead of saying $30,000... No, that's not what I mean. Not the shahr, the price you're charging. In other words, what I'm not allowed to do is to say to you, it's $18,000 today, it's $30,000 in 3 years. What I am allowed to say, it's $18,000 today, and it's whatever it's worth. If you pay in 3 years, whatever it's going to be worth then. Obviously, again, the car case won't work that way, or he's a very bad car dealer. But the case with the wheat, right? Either you can pay me right now, in which case I look up the price and I say, okay, the price for you right now, if you want to buy the wheat and pay for it right now, is going to be $1,000. If you want to pay for the wheat in 6 months, then you're going to have to pay whatever it's going to be. You're still getting the wheat now. You're going to pay for it whatever it's worth 6 months from now.
It's going to be less.
If it's going to be less, it'll be less. And that's exactly their point. According to the way Ramban brings it, he says, that's why this ribbis is unclear, because you don't know. There may not be any. Shema lo yisyakir. And in fact, he could lose. And therefore it's okay. That's the approach of the Gaonim quoted in the Ramban. Ramban likes this. The Mordechai quotes this as being the view of the Ravan. The Beis Yosef quotes this as the view of the Sefer HaTrumos quoting Rabbeinu Hanano. And the Vilna Gaon like this view as well. The Vilna Gaon is in Kufayin Gimel Beis. Everybody else involved. Well, the Mordechai is Taf Lamed Beis, Taf Lamed Gimel. The Beis Yosef is Kuf Samach Gimel Aleph. And the Sefer HaTrumos is Mem Vav Lamed. In other words, turn it into an investment. It's really Ashkah. Maybe just it's not worded that way. It's not worded as an investment. Not to mention, it can't really be an investment, because what's he doing with the wheat? He bought the wheat to eat.
He took delivery of the wheat. Also.
He took delivery of the wheat, but he's also eating it. In other words, Zaloshu Osemashu Mashkiya Vezashu Devar Hu Haoved Vania Mefarnes. It doesn't really work.
So for me, I give you the wheat. I can use my store to other things.
I theoretically possible, but you'd have to structure it that way. This is really a kmashka'a. And then, binosaf, as we've said regarding hashka'a, I'll have to pay you for start yicha. Right? Otherwise, we have big problems.
No problem. I mean, if you're giving him a choice, either pay for it now or later, So that is, why is that agar noter?
Right. So the answer is because I didn't say you have to pay me more later. If I take the view, right, if you take the view of Rashi, it's no good. Right, Rashi says you can't specify the later price, which again, assuming I don't take Ramban's spin on it, I can't specify the current price. I can only say to you, this is what you're paying me in 3 years, or 30 days, or whatever it is. Whereas if I take the view of Ramban from the Gaonim, then what we're saying is that it's because we didn't say you have to pay a higher price. You'll pay me whatever it's worth then. Good luck. that's the difference. So here's a big question, though. Rav Nachman didn't say it's only avak ribis. Rav Nachman said shari. He said this is mutter. Why isn't this an avak ribis problem? Meaning, okay, so you didn't specify what it is, but at the end of the day, you're going to be paid more than you should be paid. Because you gave him the stuff now, the kinyan happened now, and you're going to get paid more later, right? We don't even like the idea that I'm going to lend Jeffrey money, and that at the end of the halva, Jeffrey is going to say to me, I'm waking up in the morning tomorrow, I'm coming to your door to say thank you to you. Right? The formal Roman patron thank you thing, right? We don't even like that. So why is it okay for him to pay me more 30 days, 6 months, or 3 years later and just say, well, low cuts. We didn't specify it. I don't care if you didn't specify. I didn't specify saying thank you either. So why is this such an issue? So the Rashba, why isn't it such an issue, I should say? Why are we okay with this? So the Rashba in Source Tesvav says, the time of the Kula Milsa Nira, Mishum de Derech Mekach Umemkarhu. He says, because this is in the manner of commerce, as we said in the beginning, v'chol kayotze v'zeh leka yisura de'oraisa, so there is no biblical issue, and uchdei shlo tinol delas b'fnei lochin u'machrin hekelubo, in order not to prevent people from engaging in commerce, because you can imagine, you just shut down the market by not allowing anything like this, by not allowing any delayed payments for products. That means no one's going to be able to buy anything unless they have all the capital up front. What? Yeah. I mean, you're going to kill your economy that way. So the Rashba says, since only the Rabbanan, the Chacham did not make a gezerah. That's the idea. Yeah. Yeah. But that's not an exchange for a loan.
You know what I'm saying? The
concept of delayed payment for... Delayed payment
in the Kiddush. Their wife is good. But.
No, but that's exactly the point. In other words, it's not there. The case here is you took delivery of something that had a particular value. No one ever suggests that Shava Pruta is being acquired in the case of Kiddushin. It's a completely different type of a transaction. So so that's the idea of these two different approaches to what low cuts means. Either low cuts means you didn't say what the beginning price is. I'm going with the basic Rashi, not Ramban's version of Rashi. Or low cuts means you didn't specify the end price. You just said whatever it's worth then. Now, there are a couple of texts you have to harmonize with these two approaches. First is Bav Metzia Samach Gimel Amid Beis, the story of the wax, which we've already discussed elsewhere. Source Tezayin, V'amar of Nachman. Hai man diyav zuzi liki ra. If you give money to the wax merchant, V'ka'azli arba arba, at a time when it's 4 measures for whatever unit of currency you pay him. V'amar la yehiv nala chamesh chamesh. And the guy says to you, I'm going to give you 5 for the dollar or whatever it is. I'm just going to give it to you later. Right? The Isnu Gabe Shari. So if he actually has the wax with him right now, that's fine, because then you acquire the wax right now, you're just taking delivery later. Lesnu Gabe also, but if it's not available right now, if he doesn't have the wax right now in his possession, then it's no good. So this works well if you take the approach of Ramban and the Gaonim. Right? This works well if you take the approach of Ramban and the Gaonim. But if I take the, because that will explain why we say it's Asur. Right? You're not allowed to do this. Right? Hello? You're not allowed to do this unless Yeshlo. So if I take the approach of Ramban, I understand why you're not allowed to engage in this. But if I take the approach of Rashi, you never specified two different prices. You didn't say what it would be in the event that things are going. Everyone knows. By which I'm going to come back to in a second, because that's the answer. but you never specify two different prices. So Tosfos answers, and the Rush answers as well, and this has practical ramifications. La halacha, if you take a look at Source Yizayin, Vim Tomer Amai also lifts the Chamisha Bezuzah Maishna Bitarsha to Rav Nachman Gufe, right? Because Tosfos sides with Rashi in explaining what Tarsha is, Tarsha of Rav Nachman. So the answer is in the middle of Source Yizayin, Vyesh Lomar Kevin Da Azli Hacha Dalad Bezuzah. Because it does have a known price, having a known price is like being mafarish. That's going to matter a great deal when we talk about Rav Nachman, right, as halacha. If there is a known price for what this is, it doesn't matter that I didn't tell you what it was. Everybody knows what the price is. Ulefi zeh, lo shari Rav Nachman lekama intarsha, ela bedavar shein shumaso yedua. Note that he used the word shumaso yedua instead of shar yedua. We are going to talk about that, God willing. But Rav Nachman will only allow if you don't know, or if the price, the general price is not known. Could go on para otalis, like a cow, like a piece of clothing, avoperos, but with produce, im yatsa hashar, if the price is already set, everybody knows it, also allows the man tarsha, you won't be allowed to do the tarsha deal. Para and talis are different, apparently, and we're going to come to this later, because you need to see the specific cow you're buying or the specific garment you're buying. You would pay more for certain materials. You pay more for things that look better. You pay more for a healthier looking cow than you will for a different one. Yeah.
If this is the case, then according to Rashi, with eBay, isn't there no issue of ribis at all in this transaction? I have a thing. I have no idea how much it's worth. Right? The person comes to me and says, okay, you're going to pay me X amount of money in 2 months.
Wait, who's the... I lost your pronouns.
Your person is selling something.
Okay.
We don't know how much it's worth, by definition, because otherwise...
Okay, Yaron is the merchant.
Sure.
Yaron knows what it's worth. I don't know what it's worth. I'm the buyer. I don't know what it's worth.
Okay.
Whatever.
So he comes, you come, and he tells you you're going to buy this object for me. No, the point is that we don't. There's no shar yedua.
Right.
There is no shar yedua.
Right.
So we have to make a deal on how much it's worth
right now. No, but
so that means that there's no issue of ribis at all. I'm just telling you this how much it's worth, period.
Right, except that Yaron knows for himself what he would sell it for now. If I were to say to him, I'm going to pay you now, Yaron would sell it to me for $18,000.
Okay, but if we're saying that there's no shar yedua, then each sale you have to agree on the price. Then it's like a... It's a sale for sale agreement.
Maybe.
Whatever.
Maybe. When we come back to the distinction between shar yedua and shumaso yedua, you'll see that we have a spectrum. There's a level of certainty that sort of grows where there's shumaso yedua, which is kind of an interim point, and then there's shar yedua or yatsa hashar, which is end point where it's basically fixed. But even before you get to that point, there is a general sense of this is what these things are worth. These are what this is what people normally pay. Even before you get to that kind of a black and white kind of conclusion. But that's one Gemara that you have to deal with, is Samochim Lamed Beis, with the wax. Why is it usur in the event that you didn't specify the opening price? The answer is because everybody knows what the price is without you saying so. The other Gemara you have to see is the Rishalmi, involving Rechia Rabba selling flax. Sers Yudches. Rabbi Chia Ruba Havale Kitan, right? Rabbi Chia the Great had flax. Okay. Asu Chamraya Mizbinamine. Along came some donkey drivers and they wanted to buy it off of him. Amar Lun, he said to them, Les Bedati Mizabante Kedon. He says, I actually had no inkling that I was going to sell it now. I had no intention of selling it now. Elabapurya, I was going to sell it at Purim time. Puraya, whatever. I was going to sell it, and that's not a bed. Puraya. I was going to sell it come Purim time. Amrule, they said to him, Zavna Lun Kedain, sell it to us. As it is now, Madaasid Mizbante Bipuraya, based on whatever you would sell it for, come Purim time. Asa Shoyal Rebbe, he goes and asks Rebbe, am I allowed to do this? Amalei Asur. Rebbe says, absolutely not. So that's fine, again, if you take Ramban's approach, because you didn't specify what the price is. You know, at that point, just I was going to sell it for whatever it's worth, come Purim time. But if I take Rashi's approach, what's wrong? You never specify two different prices. So the answer, again, Nimuka Yosef here, source your test, V'yesh lomar da'asam yatzah shar l'kisna achshav. The answer has to be because the price was already known for whatever people would pay for flax right now was known. V'chol hecha shiyatzah shar harayu kikitzitza. If the price has already been set, that's like ketzitza. Upuraya nami dam of ketzuvin leyoker havu. And also, the price is already set for what it's going to be Purim time. Yaron, I don't know how they know, but apparently they do know what linen is going to be, what flax is going to be at that point. Hilka chavi kikatz betchilu besov. So therefore, it's as though you had set the price in the beginning, you had set the price at the end, and finished. The Balamar notes that Rav Haigon disagrees with the Mugei Yosef. That's fine. Not for right now. But the point is that Rav Nachman's Tarsha of low cuts admits of these two different explanations. Either the explanation of not mentioning a beginning price, Rashi, or not fixing the end price, a la Gaonim Ramban. So do we follow Rav Nachman? Well, the problem that we have, as I noted when we read the Gemara, is that the Gemara at the end just says, Halacha k'Rav Chama. Who exactly are we rejecting? So there are two proofs to accept Rav Nachman, to say that we're only rejecting Rav Papa, the one who said, I, the seller, am not benefiting, but I'm actually helping the borrower. That we're rejecting, but Rav Nachman we accept. Tosfos on Samach Hamad Beis says the proof of it is Bav Mitzia Samach Hamad Aleph, which I brought you in Source Chav. Amar Rava Les Hilchasa Lo Ketarshi Papu Noi, and then Rashi brings other people he doesn't like also. But Rava says the halacha does not follow Tarshi Papu Noi, Rav Papa's Tarsha. So he doesn't mention anything about Rav Nachman's Tarsha. That's one proof that we do side with Rav Nachman. The Nemoki Yosef says also that we are against Rav Papa because he sounds like that Yerushalmi case that we just cited with the Kisna. Source Chavalev, Yerushalmi, Dami Ktsas, Lahad, Rav Papa. He said, the Yerushalmi case, Rav Chiya Rabba does not intend to sell his stuff right now. He's like Rav Papa who didn't intend to sell the beer now. Right, he was planning on keeping it. If I sell it now, it's only to help out these wagon guys who want to buy the flax here and sell it somewhere else. But for me, it doesn't benefit me. And he says, from the fact that Rabbi Chiya is told you can't do this, that shows we don't like Rav Papa's thing. But as far as the Mukha Yosef is concerned, this isn't about Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's Tarsha is indeed fine. What this really comes down to goes back to Yaron's question. What it comes down to is the question of whether Rav Papa and Rav Nachman are similar or not. When Rav Papa gave his case, was it a low-cut case for Rav Nachman? Right? Was it a case of, I'm not specifying the end price? Right? However, or it's not the beginning price, end price, Ramban, Rashi, whatever, but I'm not. Is that plus, there's no benefit to me as the seller? So therefore, if you reject Rav Papa, then you reject Rav Nachman also. Right? Or was Rav Papa saying his own thing? So the Gaonim quoted in the Ramban, in Source Chav Beis, say, Rav Papa nami haki mifrasha. Rav Papa also is Rav Nachman's case. I added in brackets, ked Rav Nachman delokats. The kevin les helchasak Rav Papa, les helchasak Rav Nachman. We dump one, we dump the other. That's the way he says it. Because you took possession of the property now, you acquired it, you're going to add to the price, that's going to be agarnatalehu. And he says the proof of it is, because all of them are called tarsha, and he already explained, we saw it when we defined what a tarsha was. It means, what? What was Ramban's explanation? Tarsha means mute. Right? It isn't specified. Low cuts, in other words. So Ramban takes his view. That's why I took the time to explain what Tarsha was back in the beginning. According to Ramban's understanding of Tarsha, all of these cases have to be low cuts cases. They ought to be cases in which you didn't fix it in order to fulfill the definition of Tarsha as mute. Alma kol shalokita is kare Tarsha. That's what it is. And therefore, if they say we don't follow if they say the halacha of Rav Chama and we don't follow Rav Papa, it also means we don't follow Rav Nachman. That's the way that the Gaonim take this. The Rush in Hei Chav Beis, I didn't bring it on your sheet, agrees with the position of the Ramban. Rav Papa is adding to Rav Nachman and he is rejected and therefore Rav Nachman is also rejected. And that fits the text that I mentioned where I said that some editions have Rav Papa say Didi Vadai Shari. Not like we have, Didi Shari, mine is permitted, but Didi Vadai Shari, mine is definitely permitted. That shows you that he's adding to what came before and saying, mine is even better than yours, not orthogonal. You're going this route and I'm going this route, but he's actually adding to yours, to the other one.
The vehicle turned backwards, so that the marker, he says, the love of the Rav Chama. Now we have to figure out why Rav Nachman is the same as Rav Chama, but not to say, you know, is he also...
Well, Ramban said it's logical based on the meaning of the word Tarsha.
Yeah, but it sounds like we don't know at this point whether or not it's also like Rav Nachman the Halacha or not, and then we have to figure out why he's like Rav Papa. But
no, well, that's what we're concluding. We're saying that the line with Rav Chama is not in of itself dispositive.
Why not?
Because it could really just be a rejection of Rav Papa, okay, who was the immediate precedent, the immediate preceding.
I appreciate that, but I'm saying if the Gemara says Halacha is like Rav Chama, then it should be excluding both, and then we have to go through.
Says you.
Figure out. No, but then you have to figure out. Then we still do the same exercise, with, you know, explain why Rav Nachman is like Rav Papa, which like the Rambam does, and the Rush.
You could build it that way. I don't think you have to. But the other way to take it, which is the way that Tosus and Nemuka Yosef take it, we're at the limit on the time, but just you see that it is there on your sheet to see in Source of Gimel, Source of Dalid, their position is that these are actually two different things. To say that Rav Papa is Katz, he's not like Rav Nachman. So Tosvos and the Acherim cited in the Ramban of the Mochamos take this view and accept Rav Nachman, and then Nemuka Yosef says Rav Haigon agrees with Rav Nachman as well. So low cuts is fine. Rav Papa is excluded, but he is a cuts case, not a low cuts case. So what we'll have to come back to next time is, first of all, to discuss how this develops in Psak. So what do the poskim say? Rif, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, and so on. Then we have to also discuss within Rav Nachman what exactly low cuts means. If I take Rashi's view that we don't want to mention the prices, right? I'm not allowed to mention both prices. I can't mention the early one. Maybe I can't mention the late one. What does not mentioning the prices actually look like? What if I put it in an ad somewhere? Does that count? What if it's clear anyway what the price is? Because Yatzah Hashar Shuma. So you do things like that. And then we have to get to Rav Chama's. So what this means is I'm reserving a third week. The upshot. I know you're shocked. But we'll have to pick this up, God willing, next week.